Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Happy Saturday. This is Bad Company with Gray Eye Smith and Reverb Green. Tonight's show is based on Front Page Picks. Thank you, Lee Wildout, for setting up the show. And I'd like to go to the studio here and welcome my co-host, Reverb Greens. Hello, Reverb. How are you tonight?
I'm great, thank you. It's great to be here. Looking forward to the poetry. It looks immense tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And thank you for joining. I appreciate you.
My pleasure, always.
All right, where we could first?
I'm sorry, I just love the way you say that. Okay, we have my voice is going already. One second, it's terrible. I sound like I smoke 60 a day, for goodness sake. I wish I did. Okay, but we have Mature by Icarus Rising. And let's get started. Would you like to start reading this one for us, please, Gray?
Surely, you betcha. It looks like a long one here.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Mature. A drink of water waiting to be drank, drawn up from the earth to be for people, not for death, but for life, to flow and empty as a whole, unborn, becoming, end poem. All right, Weaver, what did you think of that?
Well, that was beautifully read, and you did it so quickly too. I must start looking at them before I make comments. I thought this was very succinct. I like that, from death to life, to flow and empty. I'm just paraphrasing here, as a whole, unborn becoming. See, that kind of smacks to me of something like reincarnation, or in the Buddhism look on life, that it's, you know, there's death, there's life, and there's you coming back, unborn but becoming. It's probably all wrong, but that's kind of how I got from it, and it's very well done. Again, you have all this amazing, interesting thoughts, all these thoughts from so few words. It's very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And I enjoyed the poem. I mean, it was short, sweet, to the point. You know, water is the gift of life. You know, it keeps all living things flowing. And without it, we would be not. So I appreciate his nod to water. And but the title throws me a little bit on this read, because, I mean, I guess we all get to mature under with water. I mean, without water, there'd be no life at all. So, yeah, kudos to him for writing this and sharing it. And he says in his author notes, tender father. So I'm not too sure, but yeah, water is the gift of life. And I appreciate his sharing that poem. And congratulations on his front page bit. All right, where are we to next, Viva?
I get what you say about that title. Isn't Icarus the one who tried to fly towards the sun? I could probably be wrong. I'm not what you call a scholar. But anyway, we will find out, I'm sure. So next up, we have Otherworldly by C. Brown. And I shall give this a read. Otherworldly. Let me make sure. Okay. So, Otherworldly. Moon, she sleeps. A little further than before, her rubicund consciousness gathers these poignant smiles. And I remember when she was part of here, never fully complete. Now I ramble, but at least I am feeling something, anything. Fairy tales, dear one, other realms we know not, but have conceived, have dreamed. Those misty moments of split second, a breath, we thought it would never end, and we dabbled in the song like roaming minstrels, making merry to the wind and to the silent marsh. So many plans are still there, calling out the score, recalling sipping colas to the rising moon smoke from another Marlborough, and the verdant green from the backyard lawn where sleepy summer afternoons carry us away. In heaps or little snapshots, there is your laugh, there are your eyes, but it's only the moon who carries it to me, yet I am glad for it. End poem.
Wonderful read, and you know, I enjoyed the write. It has such a peacefulness to it, you know, such a gentle connotation to its presentation. It speaks to me of dreaming, daydreaming, and you know, the hopes and wishes that we put into those daydreams. And, you know, I remember when she was part of here, never fully complete. Now I ramble, but at least I'm feeling something, anything. You know, when you when you're hurting and alone, you know, it's hard to feel anything. So when you do, that's great. So I mean, it could be the bad feeling, but it's still something to feel. And, you know, I also like recalling spring's colas, the rising smoke from another Marlboro, and the verdant green from the backyard lawn, while sleepy summer afternoons carry us away. You know, that take me sleeping in your hammock, and as the day goes by, and you're dreaming of somebody, and there's your laugh, there are your eyes, but it's only the moon who carries it to me. Yet I am glad for it. It's beautiful throughout. And what are your thoughts, Weaver? Hello, Weaver.
Oh, hello. Oh, my goodness me. 5 minutes in and I'm doing it. Oh, sorry. I was rambling away there. It was really interesting, by the way. Now it's going to be boring. I hate when I do that. What I was saying was, is it better to feel things deeply or to be numbed? I don't know. I don't know which one, because anyway, but this one, I was looking at the author's notes, and it reads, Inspiration Hamburger Heaven by Ronald Wallace for my niece Shelley, who passed away 2 years ago this month from drug overdose. I miss you dearly and do not forget. No, never. Oh, isn't that so sad? But that's it's a lovely piece of poetry for his niece. And, you know, and she's always in his thoughts, which is wonderful. But, again, you see, is it better to feel deeply or to be numbed? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, great read and excellent comment. Thank you so much. All right, where would you next be?
Next we have Three Magic Souls by Repeated Nap. I will read this one because this is a lady. We're going to do it nicely. Right, so
sure.
Three Magic Souls by Repeated Nap. Lovely picture. Lost in deep thought, perpetual dark abyss, no smile nor laughter, only gloom and departure. They were there with magic. As if throwing a rope into the black emptiness, I take hold, willing myself to climb for my beautiful souls. Saving my life with only eyes that smile, voices of heavenly souls singing, pulling at my heartstrings. Butterflies fluttering, causing beams of delight ear to ear. Three majestic faces come into view, rejoice of laughter, soon follow after. The magic in their words and hearts made a gloomy, ominous day turn sunny rays, misty rain, a double rainbow. No amount of words could ever say how much my soul breeds love. First true love is what I can never get enough of. My children. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. Did you want to read the author's notes?
Yes, of course, no problem. My inspiration. I've been struggling with depression most of my life. When I'm in it, it's hard to come out. My three boys, my best friends, have always helped me through it. I don't know where I would be without them. They truly have saved my life. And then we have contest, too much of a good thing. Yeah, that's just the notes for the contest. Oh, that's another lovely but very sad information in the AN, isn't it? It's a pity about the fact that depression or anything of that ilk isn't something you can actually see. Like you could see a broken limb or you could see a cut. It's never noticeable unless you know the person and know what's going on in their life. So it's hard. It must be very, very hard. I feel so sorry for anybody who's suffering like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you kind of get that out of this first stanza there where she says, lost in deep thoughts, perpetual dark abyss, no smile nor laughter, only gloom and departure. They were there with magic, you know. That says everything right there. You know, you can hear everything in the poem and the gist of it right in that first stanza. She just lays it all out with her depression and the boys saving her life and making it whole. And, I mean, kudos to her for fighting this and battling. I mean, so many people don't come through depression. You know, they end up committing suicide, and which is a tragedy for sure, to be so depressed that you're willing to end your life. But you know, these children keep her alive, which is a beautiful thing. So kudos to her, Repeated Nap, for sharing and for being so up and forefront about it. Much appreciated, and good luck with your battle. Repeated that. I hope it goes well. What did you think?
Yes, I agree. I mean, as I've said, it must be a terrible thing to live with. And children, I mean, children are ever optimistic. You know, give them the right environment to thrive in, and you know, they grab life and go with it. they will jump around and scream and shout and fight with each other. And that's real life. So that if this dear lady can take that and use that as a springboard to getting back to what she wants, I think it's wonderful. Yeah, and the children sound absolutely wonderful too. So yeah, thank you for sharing that, because it's not an easy thing to do. It's very brave. But it does always help other people to realize they're not alone. Other people. It's a kind of a very lone thing, isn't it? Something that you can't express to other people. It's in you. It's in your mind, and it's hard. You know, people maybe would not understand, or people just don't care. But it's very difficult. And thank you again for sharing that with us.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And thank you very much for reading that, Lever. All right, what do we have next?
Right, next we have... Oh, yes, we have Precious Jewel in My Forest by Papo, poet of Kazan. And over to you, Gray, please, if you would read this.
Sure. All right, so we have Precious Jewel in My Forest by Papo, poet of Kanake. When branches break beneath the weight of wind and sing the howling sigh of owls' sobs, so fills the dark abyss of shallow ponds. Soft ripples ring the branches and the leaves. I dream in shades, submerged in pastel dreams, a canopy of pines in steep ravines. Yet tremulous echoes speak between the trees. A wandering sparrow, lost without its nest, seeks cover of a hollow walnut log. My crib, this cavern, tethered in the ground, what comely nectar drips the honeycomb to make this sullen place my earthly home. She bends my river, blue to crystal pure, dewdrops of joy allays my thirsty spring. Sweet love in yellow drops of sunlit rays, light breezes stroke the furs of sleeping mink. In dreams, this angel sees me near her pool. The storm recedes and needs and heeds my precious jewel and poem. Wow, beautiful. And what are your thoughts, Weaver?
Yes, exactly. Beautiful. Precious Jewel in My Forest. Just lovely. And again, we have so much description in here that, you know, you can almost be there with him. When branches break beneath the weight of wind and sings the howling sigh of owls sobs. Now that is so lovely. Sings the howling sigh of owls sobs to so fill the dark abyss of shallow ponds. Soft ripple ring the branches and the leaves. The alliteration is lovely too. Gentle, but you know, not too much of it. You can sometimes get hit over the head with alliteration, and subtlety is always a good thing in anything you're trying. But this is lovely. So this is to his love, to his someone that he adores. My crib, this cavern tethered in the ground. Okay, cool. It's very well written, and I do love the words he uses. It just sounds soft and sweet and so gentle. Okay, and I was looking at comments. Yeah, lovely, thank you. Back to you.
Absolutely. But, you know, it has such a peaceful connotation to it. Like, you can feel the quietness of the forest in his right, and it's so peaceful and engaging. Descriptive, and you know, you can feel the peaceful emotions throughout it. So beautiful, right? Papo, poet of Kanaki. Kanaki. Because I don't know how to say KS without dropping one or the other. So Kanaki.
Kanaki. That sounds pretty good, yeah. It's one of those things that's more difficult than you believe. I tried it, I thought, no, it doesn't work. But I'm sure it's a lovely place to live. Kanaskiski.
Yeah. All right, where would you next?
And next we have If I Should Die Before You by Jan Serene. So I'll read this one. If I Should Die Before You. If I should die before you, I will sing you the first bird's melody in early dawn. My spirit will be the ray of sunshine who warms your brow, the falling rain that washes your tears away when your soul is weary. My eyes will be the full moon that guides you through the darkness. I will be the guardian angel within your dreams, slaying nightmares into the mist. If I should die before you, I will plant my seeds of love within your heart. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And that's such a poignant poem. It really is just so beautifully written. You know, it speaks to the love that a mother has, and it's so otherworldly and so endearing, you know, that she's going to be all these things and do all these things to let her child know that she's there. And that, you know, I thought she captured the whole motherhood and love that a mother has for her child just so beautifully. And it's just such a graceful and refreshing, right? So, yeah, beautifully done. Thank you for sharing, and congratulations on your front page pick, Jan Serene. And Weaver, what did you think?
I agree. This is just so lovely, isn't it? It's a thought full of pathos, If I Should Die Before You. But it's something I suppose that parents will think of, won't they? Because life is uncertain, and that's the biggest certainty of all. Oh, I waxed quite poetical there. poetical, I meant to say. Yes, I thought this was lovely. There we have the spirit warming the brow, and being the rain, and being the dawn, and being the whole of the world for that child, and will always be, whether they're there or not. I just think there is nothing purer than mother love in its entirety. So, yeah, beautiful. I really enjoyed this. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. You know, I don't think I've ever asked you, but do you have children, Eva?
Yes, I do. I have two girls, rather large girls now, yeah, but two girls, both married, one with children, yeah.
Wow.
And they live close to me, so it's nice.
Cool. Awesome. Great. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Congratulations on your babies. So, yeah. I just realized that when I wrote to Papo, Poto Kanai, Google automatically changed my Papo to Papoose. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, it does that, doesn't it? That little red line is the bane of my life. Follows me everywhere. I find you because I'm a bad speller.
Yeah.
So I'm getting better.
Right.
Okay.
All right. What do we have next, Weaver?
Next we have Keepsake by Budhu. And would you give this a read for us, please?
Sure. Keepsake by Budhu. In the waning moments of dusk, benevolent caress, settling gently down, and engulfed in welcome embrace, it is nature's whole. And when the eve stirs, does she pine for the fallen, in dashed hopes of a lifelong partner? Of a fortnight back, did he gasp, last breath, and fade into the mist? Thus, it is this time of the day, replayed countless instants, embedded, memory jarred, with feathers ruffled, she can revisit his love song, sung only to her, a melody that still carries aloft by token breeze, faint but audible, to guide her fortune until the next time. End poem. Wow, that was beautiful and touching. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, definitely. And do you see that picture. The little bird made out of leaves. Oh, that is so clever. Wow. Yes, I thought this was lovely. Now this second stanza, billowing gently down and engulfed in welcome embrace, it is nature's whole. And when ease stirs, does she pine for the fallen, in dash hopes of a lifelong partner. Yeah, I think there was a time when everybody took it for granted that, you know, you get married and you stay married and you have your partner with you and, you know, you go through the good and the bad and the ups and the downs. It is just an awful lot easier nowadays when things get bad to walk away. So this is a lovely tribute to what love can actually be. All the beautiful love songs sung just to her. Yeah, I thought it was beautifully done and an awful lot of caring in that one. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely beautiful, Palinette. And, you know, I thought it was very touching. You know, it really, it captures the picture quite beautifully. You know, I didn't realize it, but that first bird there on the left was leaves. You know, when you look at the picture, you just see a bird. And, you know, she's looking at these leaves and seeing her mate who has passed on. And, you know, she still hears his morning bird song, sung only to her, which is just a beautiful, beautiful thought, you know, a melody that's so carried aloft by token breeze, faint but audible, to guide her fortune until the next time. It's just such a touching and heartfelt, right? Amazing, you know. Congratulations on the front page fit. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, wonderful. Hello in the group, Passion's Promise. All right, so where would you next, Weaver?
Next we have True Love Whiskey and the Petunia Chair by C. Glass, and I will give this one a read. True Love Whiskey and the Petunia Chair, prompt 4. The sofa and settee are cozy company, squashed up close with true love, pets and family, a place to meet and eat and TV screen. But the average chair is a sad, solitary thing. Single legs, equally spaced, their destiny never to meet. 4 lonely sentinels supporting a seat. Perpendicular, made of wood or metal struts, sometimes upholstered and stuffed to keep its spirit of singleness up. I use one as a clothes horse so it feels included. Drape it with a dress and a hoodie with shoes underneath it, because I'd rather sit in the velvet of the soft pink petunia balanced on a spring. True love will join me and we'll drink whiskey, share a picnic, and blow penny whistles, then bounce and hug and spin. End poem.
Excellent read, Weaver. And he says in his office, though, it says, the chair in the prompt looks like an upturned pink petunia flower, and I'd love to own it. Yeah, so beautiful, right? And I enjoy it. You know, it has a tenderness and a peacefulness to it that one would find in a chair such as he's described. It's just beautiful and engaging and endearing throughout. So thank you for sharing that, C-Glass. And what are your thoughts, Weaver?
Yes, well, I do love C-Glass writes very much, and this is on a par with everything else. A very clever write. It's compact, but it gives you so much. Every word counts, and I like that. Well thought out, well placed. I like the change in the length of stanzas. That it's great. I know that, you know, one is supposed to expect poetry to be in, you know, a certain amount, 4-line stanzas or whatever, but I just love what's going on. All the different amount of words in each stanza, different amount of lines, and it just makes it, well, I think it makes it just so much more interesting to bounce around inside a piece of poetry like that and enjoy it. So there is no stated and standard way of writing. Everybody's having fun, I think, at the moment and just going for it. And yeah, and I like the bounce and hug and spinning and the little smiles. So cute. Well, very well done. I really enjoyed that, C-Glass, much as I would expect to. So thank you for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you so much. All right, where are we to next?
You just have to give me a moment. I've been so busy talking. I forgot to go for the next poem. Oh, here we have, yes. Here we go. Just talk amongst yourselves. I'll be back in a moment. Don't talk amongst yourselves. I think you're crazy. Right. Next we have Difference by Brian T. Duffield. And would you give this a read for us, please, Gray? Are you on mute, my dear? Or have you dropped? I don't know, because I can't see anything. Well, I have to presume that poor dear Gray has dropped, and I will. Oh, he's back. Is he back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Ah,
I'm good. Back.
Good.
Yeah. All right, so am I to read the next one here?
Yes, please.
Okay. So we have Difference by Brian T. Duffield. Instinct drives desire, driving through cloud, to graze on lush green, unseen. Limbs, plates in flesh, flashing through sunlight, breeding in meadows, untrodden, secretive of heart and poem. Well, what did you think, Weaver?
I thought that was lovely. It's, again, one of these beautiful pieces of poetry that sneak up on you and you don't expect it. Instinct, drive, desire, diving through cloud, to graze on lush green, unseen. Yes, yeah, instinct does drive desire. There's nothing. Again, these instinctive reactions to things in life are, you know, built in, ready for us. Like a what do they call it, a group memory or some phrase that means that some things that we do are built in already, like uploaded for us, these instincts. It's like, well, it's meant to be. I suppose it's a throwback to when we didn't have a great deal of control over our lives and a dinosaur might stand on us. So you had to have the instinct to run or the instinct to hide or whatever. Yeah. So very clever. I like this a lot, Brian T. Duffield. And a very few words, you've managed to make something very, very interesting. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I enjoyed the write. You know, I like the secretive nature to it. You know, instinct drives desire, driving through clouds, to graze on lush green, unseen. And then the way he finishes it, untrodden, secretive, apart. Very interesting. And makes you think about what he's, you know, really getting at first. It gives me an impression that someone wants to remain in the shadows. And I agree with that comment from Lolita. So, yeah, excellent, right? And thank you for sharing. Congratulations on the front page pick, Brian. And where are we to next, sweetheart?
Oh, sorry. You caught me having a drink. Ooh. Yes, we have Phases of the Moon by Ursula McCabe. And I will read this one. There we are, we have it. Phases of the Moon. Moon sits saucy in the sky. A beret dons the sides of his round head. This phase is known as the last quarter. Moon is just so au courant. It's early Saturday morning and so quiet. What will be our last quarter? Sorry, what will our last quarter bring? Warm woodsy flavours, sweet resinous looks. I remember how you liked to gather kindling, how proud you were of your campfires, how close we sat together, how we will again. End poem.
Beautiful reading, Weaver. And I enjoyed the writing. Hello?
Sorry, I was...
Can you hear me?
Were you on? I can hear you. No problems. I said something when I checked
up. Okay, no worries. Moon sits and saucy in the sky. A beret dons the side of his round head. This phase is known as the last quarter. The moon is just so au courant. And it's early Saturday morning, so quiet. And then, you know, I remember how you liked to gather kindling, how proud you were of your campfires, how close we sat together, and how we will again. It was just beautiful sentiment there. You know, campfires are a wonderful thing, and especially when shared with somebody you love. And I thought it was beautiful, beautiful throughout. So, yeah, very touching and inspirational. And what are your thoughts, Lee?
Yes, I like anything to do with that sort of campfire, early morning, stars everywhere. Something very magical about it, especially if you are far away from everything. So there is no ambient light. There's no lampposts. You're just you and a campfire. Lovely. It really is. It's a wonderful way to... And you would be close to each other because, you know, you're cuddled up in front of the campfire. I thought that was lovely. What will our last quarter bring? Pepper, mint, warm, woody flavours, sweet, resinous looks. You see, that's just lovely. That's taken the whole of the kindling and the fire, the wood for the fire, that's added all of that into that one stanza and holds everything together. Yeah, very well done, very clever. So thank you for sharing that with us, Ursula. Lovely.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you so much. All right, where would you next, Lee?
Well, we have, let's see what we have. I'm going to keep checking out and see what's happening. Talking to myself, sorry. Bad habit. Oh, yes, we have. I thought it was there. It ain't hairy. It's February weary. IT stitch. And would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure, you know, just 1 second here. Here we go. All right. It ain't hairy. It's February. Can't say I had no warning. But still, I woke up scorning this dreadful, dreadful morning as I started out from bed. The ground, frozen and icy. The driving did look dicey. The price I'd pay, too pricey. So I stayed home instead. Oh, well, no sense in hiding. Hot coffee looked inviting. Thought I'd take to writing and spill what's in my head. A winter rhyme can't harm you, my friends. It may just warm you and sure as heck inform you that this old dude ain't dead. A February folly, a piece that's bright and jolly. By gosh, by gee, by golly, I sure hope it gets read. End poem. That was amazing. But he says in his author's notes, he says, February here in the Midwest can bring about almost any type of weather. More than likely, it's frozen and frigid, as were the conditions at the time of this writing. The pool cover frozen over and covered in ice and snow. And yet, on more than one occasion, I've dined or strolled about outside in shirt sleeves and a light jacket. So who knows which way the February wind blows and comment. And yeah, I mean, February is that this or that type of month, you know. It can be any kind of weather, really. And I thought he captured that quite beautifully. So thank you for sharing. And what are your thoughts, Weaver?
I did so much enjoy the title. I love people who are clever with words. It's so nice. It ain't here, it's February. Oh, my, my. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds so cool. At February. Well, I'm afraid in Scotland we tend to have, like, 1 month can be 3 different months. You know, it doesn't change much. Grey and wet and bleak. But luckily it doesn't bother me. But I thought this was very clever. I'm saying clever a lot, but I'm afraid it's just a fact at the moment that these poets are doing an absolutely ace job of letting us have so much interesting poetry to read and try and interpret and look at. So, yeah, clever is going to be something I'm going to be using a lot, I think. You have this it wasn't the last stanza. Yes, here it is, the last stanza. A February folly, a piece that's bright and jolly, by gosh, by gee, by golly, I sure hope it gets read. Well, it got read, by goodness and by golly, and it was very well worth the read. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was a joy.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. But yeah, you know, February is one of those months. Just, you know, who knows what it'll bring. So some days, you know, it's best off just to stay home and take your chances at home rather than, you know, head out to the world and see what happens out there. Because, you know, the driving can be hellish and so can the walking. You know, sometimes just walking in a February day can be a nightmare. So, yeah, good choice on staying home and writing. And thank you for your sharing of your write for that day. Much appreciated, T-Stitch. And congratulations on the front page pick. All right, Weaver, where are you next?
And next we have... Okay. We have, sorry, There Is and Hot Coffee by King. And did I read last? You see, I'm getting to the point where I don't even remember. Did I read last? Yes? No?
No.
I think I
no,
did.
You didn't.
Oh, I didn't. So you read last. Okay, this is for me then. Oh, okay. See what I mean? It's old age catching up on me. Dahlias and Hot Coffee by King. His coffee is hot as mine, but they'll cool down in time, and we will sip till empty. He tells me time comes too quickly. It did for his dog, Max. Beloved, a simple stone marks his spot, close to garden edge, among the dahlias, to be seen, remembered. His grandson stood a moment there, long wondering. Even the barbecue's wasps offering of sausages, unwedged, he stood long. Granddad explained Max was old, and all things alive must die. Those pretty dahlias will die, and return, like Max, who will not cry today. Even I will die. His grandson took a moment long, thoughtful, said, in a voice of innocence, I'll miss you. I coughed, sniffed enough for composure, to burn my lip on the hot edge of coffee. End poem.
Wow, beautiful read, Weaver. And that's such a touching poem. You know, you can picture this moment as it happens, and it's just such a beautiful but tragic thing. You know, hot coffee is mine, but they'll cool down in time and will sip till empty. He tells me time comes too quickly. It did for his dog, Max. Beloved, a simple stone marks a spot close to garden's edge. Among the dahlias to be seen and is remembered. And then, you know, the grandson standing there pondering what happened to Max, you know. And the dad saying, Max was old and he passed on. And we all do. And even I will die. The grandson took a moment long, thoughtful, and said in a voice of innocence, I'll miss you. And, you know, how could you not want to shed a tear at that moment? And, you know, I coughed just enough for composure to burn my lip on the hot edge of the coffee. And, you know, it's just a heartfelt, endearing, beautiful but tragic, right? You know, the coming of age of a child and the lessons learned by life itself. You know, life is teaching him that things get old, things die, and, you know, you will miss them, but they will return. And, you know, so I thought it was beautiful, very touching and heartfelt throughout. So excellent share, King. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, I agree. It was beautifully penned. I can't imagine having to try and explain the cycle of life to a child, you know, because their thoughts, their mindset is basic ABC. There is no nuances with children. So, you know, they're either going to start screaming and be incredibly frightened by the thought, or they're just going to be like this lovely little chap. Took a moment long, thoughtful, said in voice of innocence, I'll miss you. Now that's, you know, that's lovely. The concept's taken, understood, and the truth comes from that child very easily, which is, I just love. I think children's way of looking at life is fascinating. It really is. I mean, like, talking of children, my youngest had a knack of putting her rather small foot in her enormous mouth. We were walking along the street, and she shouts at the top of her voice, hey, Mum, here's your friend. Fat Betty. Oh, no, it was awful. Ah, oh, dear, I don't take it out very often, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah,
so that's what I feel about children. There's no off switch. There's no tempering anything. They just say what they think, and this is lovely. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I did have a dog named Max. He was a beautiful German Shepherd, and he was my best friend for 13 years of my life, so I miss you, Max. I still miss that dog.
Yeah, I understand completely. I had my dog for over 20 years, little black and white cross. I got her from a cat and dog home, so I saved her. And she was an absolute joy. I just love her. And I'd never had another pet. I just couldn't, because she was just so much in our family. I understand very much so, and I'm not surprised you still miss Max.
Yeah, I do. Yep. But yeah, we shared a lot of adventures, for sure. All right, what are we to next, Weaver?
Next up, there is Street Aroma by Zax. So could you give this a read for us, please?
Sure. Street Aroma by Zax. The street reeked, smelled of onions, an aroma that assaults the nose, pervading, invisible, yet has a union with a baker's vessel carrying a cargo of rusk and ham, smoky and smooth, a famed label with no reason that I know. The image appeals to our primal senses, complemented by a swirl of mustard or a flavored partner tomato relish. All loosely wrapped in paper, mastered by the street vendor, not embellished, waiting, cue, all agog for a simple ... And it was based on a competition hot dog, but not using the word hot dog. Excellent, right? And what did you think, Weaver?
I'm glad you read that AN for me. That makes it so much more interesting. So writing a piece of poetry about a specific thing without naming that specific thing, that's clever. I've done it again. Wow. Stop me from saying it. Yes, I think this is very well done. And I like with a baker's vessel. You see there, yeah, a baker's vessel, which is the roll, presumably, the bread roll, carrying a cargo of rusk and ham, smoky and smooth. It's just as though they don't realize exactly what is in those things instead of just the rusk and ham. But, you know, people will eat them anyway because they taste good. Yeah, I like it. The image appeals to our primal senses, complemented by a swirl of mustard or a flavored partner tomato relish. Yeah, very well done. That is a job completely mastered hot dog. I loved it. I hadn't noticed that kind of competition before. That's a wonderful one. Write about something but don't actually name it. It's cool. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I thought he captured that quite beautifully. The smell of those hot dog stands can be assaulting to the nose. It really hits you when you smell them. It makes you want one, even though you know what they are, even though you don't know what they are. they still taste delicious. And, I thought it was wonderful. Descriptive and engaging throughout. So excellent job, Zax. And congratulations on your front page pick. All right, Weaver, where are we to next?
Oh, yes. And can I say congratulations to everybody on their front page picks? I'm terrible for remembering to do that. I do apologize. But I do think you're all incredibly well-versed. I didn't say clever. Oh, no, I said clever again.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to go through the whole evening, isn't it? Me trying to avoid the word. So now we have The Hunt's End by Quicken. And this has a SoundCloud, if I'm not incorrect.
Okay. All right, I'll take a look here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
The Hunt's End by Quicken. Under the cloak of darkness, where night weaves its secrets into the fabric of the forest, the prowl, spectator of predation, my essence a fusion of shadow and intent. The forest, ancient and whispering tales of life and death, claims me as its own. The stage set for the relentless ballet of hunter and hunted. My senses honed to razor sharpness by the thrill of the chase, cut through the darkness. The rustle of a leaf, the snap of a twig, each sound is as clear to me as the terror emanating from my prey, a scent as intoxicating as it is primal. There ahead, a fleeting glimpse of my quarry, it darts, a ghostly apparition, movement spurred by instinctual knowledge of its impending doom. I relish the anticipation, the dance between life and death, each step drawing us inexorably closer to the climax. The gap narrows, my prey's desperate attempts to evade capture fuel my hunger, driving me relentlessly forward. Its fear is palpable, a thick cloud that hangs between us, spurring me on. My heart races, not with fear, but with a dark delight, prelude to the satisfaction that awaits. In a burst of speed, I launch myself towards my target. Time suspends as I become death incarnate. My claws find their mark, tearing through flesh and bone with a savagery that is both brutal and beautiful. The sound of my prey's final breaths is a symphony to my ears. The light fading from its eyes, a candle extinguished in the darkness. The aftermath is a quiet that settles over the forest, a profound and complete silence. I stand over my conquest, a testament to the primal forces that govern our existence. The violence of the act, a necessary part of the cycle of life and death, leaves me neither joyous nor remorseful, but simply sated, my hunger momentarily appeased. As I melt back into the shadows, the forest closes in around the scene of the hunt, erasing any sign of the struggle. I become once again a phantom, a creature of the night, my existence marked by the trails of the hunted and the echo of the hunt, where every victory in the darkness is both a curse and a delight, leaving me to roam the night in a world where the shadows and I unite.
Wow, that was beautiful. Excellent read. You know, you can picture all this as you read through it. It's haunting and engaging, descriptive, and
bless you.
Brutal in its beauty. Thank you. But you know, you can feel the fear of the hunted in the right, you know, just emanating through the air, you know, in that thick cloud that hangs between the hunter and the hunted. And, it's definitely powerful in its description. In a burst of speed, I launch myself towards my target. Time suspends as I become death incarnate. My claws find their mark, tearing through flesh and bone, with a savagery that is both brutal and beautiful. The sound of my prey's final breath is a symphony to my ears, the light fading from its eyes, a candle extinguished in the darkness. Wow, that's powerful, deep, severely engaging, and it's captivating, you know, right until the end. And I thought he did a beautiful job with his SoundCloud. It has a spooky essence that evokes it evokes both the hunter and the hunted in its right, which is definitely not easy to do. And I thought he captured his right quite beautifully in his read. It really is great. And yeah, so thank you so much for sharing, Quicken, and congratulations on your front page pick. Absolutely wonderful. And thank you for the SoundCloud as well. And Weaver, what did you think?
I agree with everything you said. You know, there are lengths of pieces of poetry that we understand that, you know, we have shorter ones, but this for me shows the necessity of having longer pieces of poetry to enjoy, because this is just so well thought out, and it everything there makes you, you are with them. You're in the forest listening to the whispering tales of life and death. You're watching the hunter narrowing in on the hunted, and you can feel, and you even have the rustle of a leaf, the snap of a twig. Each sound is as clear to me as the terror emanating from my prey, a scent as intoxicating as it is primal. It's very, very well written. That so much of it is like a mind picture, which just, you know, you can, oh, you just take it all in so easily. Very well done. Because I'm looking at the picture, and my warped and twisted mind is thinking, is this going to turn, and is it going to be the spectre that's after the wolves? And it turns on its tail, as it were, and it's the wolves that get captured and killed. But no, it didn't. So that's fine, because it was lovely the way it was done. Just as I say, the way my mind works, twisting the tail. Oh, the tail of the fox or the wolf. So anyway, I'm sorry, I'm gibbering again. I do tend to do that. I apologize. So yes, very well done. And I like the SoundCloud a lot. Your voice lends itself to the eeriness of the poetry so well. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. All right, Weaver, where are we to next?
Okay. Now next we have, here we have, I've got it, Diddley Park by Samuel Black, I believe. I believe I'm the one who's looking at it. Here we have. 1 second. Dum, 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 dum. Right. Diddley Park by Samuel Black. Would you give this a read for us, please, Craig?
Sure. Diddley Park by Samuel Black. Words move beyond the clatter, trash, and clutter. A wet street, sticks and rubs, chest with raindrops, air in an icebox, escapes the picnic, and gums, and poem. Yeah, what did you think, Weaver?
Yes, interesting. This is very interesting. Diddley Park, is that like rhyming slang, or is that a place? I don't know. Words move beyond the clatter, trash, and clutter. A wet street sticks and rubs chest with raindrops, air in an icebox. Yeah, this is very descriptive, and it's up. I'm not terribly sure, I have to admit, exactly where we are with this one. I'm going to have a quick look at the AN and see if it helps me. So it's about Diddley Park. Okay, that makes it more sense. Yes, I got it now. I wasn't very sure, but yes, it does help if you look at different parts of the AN. Yes, so this is a place where you can have your picnic, but certainly not by the sound of it today. But yeah, lovely to have a place to go and memories of that place, because, you know, picnics you can have, you start off with your family when you're young, and then you get older and you go with your mates with a couple of wet, damp sandwiches in a pack in your backpack. And then you go on to the more romantic picnic. So, yeah, picnic takes you through life in its different aspects. So I thought this was very well done. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when the author's note doesn't do it, I skip through the comments. And at the very first comment, it says, I haven't a clue what this is about, and I don't really care because I love it anyway. That was by Floorboards. And then Samuel Black says, thank you. Glad you liked it. It says, quotation, chest with raindrops, bracket, predicting where they drop moves next, bracket. It's kind of key. How words move the picnic and gums of Diddley Park. So that's the gist of it, I guess, is that it's about playing chess at the park and with raindrops, you know, wondering where they're going to fall. I thought it was wonderful. I mean, it was short, descriptive, it was engaging. Definitely left a lot for the reader to discern. But, yeah, Samuel, thank you for sharing, and congratulations on your front page pick. All right, so we should do some open poetry now, I guess?
Yes, of course. I'll just get back to where I was. Been skipping up and down, you see, once I do that I'm lost forever. Okay, we have the open poetry. Oh, Hope Soul. I haven't heard from Hope Soul for ages. Okay. So here we have. So be good. And there's one for... anyway, I'll get that in a minute. Here we are. Paste. Gotcha. Right. Flowers Need a Vase by Hope Soul. And I will give this one a read. Flowers Need a Vase. Don't try to make sense of the nonsensical movements I make when I sway left to right in the light of a spring blue bonnet afternoon. Toe tap on the hard wooden floors when my feet skip to sounds of dishes and soda bottles. You won't figure out why my tears peekaboo when we make love or when I'm stirred with tense anger. No, I don't want you to. All this woman needs is your sugar. While you wrap your arms around my waist, hold me just like you did the first time and our very last. Just love me. End poem.
Wonderful read. And that's such a touching, right? You know, the love is palpable in this, right? Don't try to make sense of the nonsensical movements I make when I sway left to right in the light of a spring blue bonnet afternoon. Toes tap on the hard wooden floors when my feet skip to the sound of dishes and soda bottles. You won't figure out why my tears peekaboo when we make love or when I'm stirred with tense anger. I almost read the whole poem. But, you know, it's definitely engaging. You know, it keeps you wondering what the next line will be. And what she's saying to her lover is just love me, which is a beautiful thing. You know, just love me. That's all I need is to be loved. And so thank you for sharing, Hope Soul. And it was nice to have your words read again. So, yeah. And what did you think, Weaver?
Yes, I can understand all of the underlying little points in this piece of poetry. Well done, Hope. It's true. We don't need to be understood, because, you know, oft times we don't understand ourselves. You have hormones flying about all over the place, and we are people of who tend to feel a lot of things. And sometimes far more than we need to or should. But I like this one so much. I like the fact that it's, this is what I do, this is what I am. But you don't have to do it. I've actually got something on the wall that says that. Don't try to understand me, just love me. And that's exactly what it is. You just need the arms around you or somebody to make you laugh when you're down. And that's all. Being understood is a difficult thing, because you can understand one reaction, but another day, the same reaction might be caused by something completely different. So it's never easy. Unless we can actually read each other's minds, we are never going to get as close as we would like to be, because it's everything's masked. And if you reading body language is always handy. That's something I quite enjoy as well. Body language can tell you a lot, but that's a long, hard slug to get to that point. So yes, Hope, I loved it. If I haven't said that already, I loved it a lot. And I like the fact that you can address these things and make them so easily understood, even within the enigma that is womankind, I suppose. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic comment. Thank you, Weaver. All right, where are we to next, Weaver?
And next up is Dogs Right in the Rain, Love Soaked, by Nunu Cardoso. So could you read this for us, please?
Sure. So we have Dogs Right in the Rain, Love Soaked, by Nunu Cardoso. Poinsettias wait for me, somewhere in Mexico, or maybe in a flower shop, somewhere near the border, red and green, pointing at my chin as I rise and thump the rocket way away up to heaven. Down to hell, waiting for consolation from the milk of the poppy. When it comes, be ready, baby. Give me all that swoon, those Aphrodite curves, laying on a bed of autumn leaves. Your welcoming mat greets the mud on my boots on December 24th. Portugal's knocking at the door, darling. Give me all that I'm owed by the gods I'll give you your due as well. My body craved yours, but not for the regions of the hook, hanging by a chain and holding meat as blood-soaked white apron butchers chop loins on metal tables with meat cleavers, to clean and clean the sweat off their foreheads. No, for those reasons at all. I'm beyond all that. I'm beyond sex. The reason I crave your body, it's because the raindrops fall from the sky and elope with the earth, filling grass where the crickets drink and get drunk, holding their mugs, cricketing their songs of better days to come. Birds' nests soak in eggs that are required to be sat upon. Huevos demand to be nurtured by heat. Tupperwares fill to the brim, left for stray cats to dip their whiskers in. And dry food becomes wet food, revealing all the whispers that they leave on that makeshift bowl. All things that should be left alone, yet aren't. Rain won't let them be. That's the reason. Love. End poem. Wow, and you got a 10 out of 10 on his professional similarity on that. So, congratulations, Nuno. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, I agree. It's a perfectly beautiful piece of poetry. I love the way his mind works. It just bounces and catches and puts things together that you wouldn't think would be necessarily together, which maybe sound mad, but that's kind of how I think of it. He has got his own thoughts and his own reactions, and he's allowing us a glimpse into his mind, which, you know, you don't always get. People are very close and tied and private a lot of the time. But I like this one. Give me all that swoon, those Aphrodite curves, laying on a bed of autumn leaves. Your welcoming mat breached the mud on my boots on December the 24th. Dude, nothing is straightforward. It's not I arrived back December the 24th. It's that beautiful two or three lines that get you to there. Yeah, beautifully done. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, exactly. I like his thought process. You know, it's so wild and out there that, you know, it's a pleasure to go along that ride of his mental landscape and get to the point where you end up at, where he's basically saying, I love you, hope soul, in his author's notes. So that's what it is. It's about love, and life is full of many different paths that take us to the same place of love. And there's a beauty in the ugliness and an ugliness in the beauty. And yeah, I really like the way he shares his thoughts on that. And so, yeah, beautiful. Congratulations on your front page pick, you know? Oh, I don't know if this was front page. It's open poetry, but anyway. I hope it gets a front page pick. It's got a 10 out of 10 in professional similarity, so can't beat that.
Yeah, that's not easy. Yes, I'd love to see both of them put a piece of poetry in our show. That was really nice of them. I've missed hearing them, to be honest. Okay. Right, next we have Breathing a Song of Love by Teresa Shenknoff. I love her surname, so I will give this one a read if it ever opens. Now, here we have Breathing a Song of Love. I catch myself every so often just lying here listening to your breath like a song of love, breath by breath, song after song. Each breath does sing a melody of happiness and pure bliss. I stay awake so I don't miss the songs of the breaths you sing night after night. That's just for me. I know I'm just right, right where I need to be. And that's right here with you. Forever you will see. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And that's such a touching poem, you know. Reading a song of love. You know, when you're in love, everything that you do is just filled with that love. And each breath you take is connected to that love, and you feel that love in each breath. So I thought it was beautiful. I mean, so touching and heartfelt. Just so wonderful, right? Throughout. And what are your thoughts, Weaver?
Yes, I agree with you. It's very well written, isn't it? Breathing. I mean, you have... I love the fact that there you have that title, and all you have throughout this whole piece of beautiful poetry is the breath that you take to keep you alive and keep you with me, and the fact that I love listening to your breath as you sleep. That's very tender, very, very sweet. I catch myself every so often just lying here listening to your breath. Yeah. It can be heart-wrenching as well, but it's just so lovely, so sweet. So, yeah, thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was wonderful.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. All right. So do we have any more open poetry?
Bet we have one more. And this is for you. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie Alfie by Lauren 67. Go for it.
All right, here we go. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie Alfie. The Adventures of Nigel and His Homie Alfie. Nigel and Alfie are bonafide stars. This ain't their first rodeo. That's why they act the way they do. Their vessel that would be hand-picked because of his latent, docile, almost dazed attitude, Lawrence, 67. So they just pretty much run over him. 67 was more or less their vessel to get their show on the road and is a tolerable asterisk, if anything. Nigel, Alfie, Princess, Ralph. Ralph, the leader of the notorious Hispanic dog gang called the Chihuahuas, who have run-ins with the cats. And there's Jubo de la Chingua Jr., the third, self-proclaimed bestest reporter in the whole world, winner of 3 La Pinatas in his homeland, in Mexiculo, no such place. Pinatas, paper mache figures filled with candles that are broken with a stick by a birthday girl or boy. Jubo is confused, often mistaken, for a dumb Hispanic. He is also the sponsor, reporter, authority, and all of Nigel's doings. Mr. Announcer has no other name, always messing with Jubo, who plays him. He pays him to announce him with the grandeur, of course. Mr. Announcer does his job, sort of, and the cast of characters is long and ongoing, including you. Yeah, you're in this shit also, so suck it up. If we've got to be in it, so do you, cry baby. Wah, wah, wah. End poem. And what did you think, Weaver?
As ever, a symphony of silliness. I love it. I always enjoy his work. I've said to you before, I always think of him being there, but Nigel and Alfie are the entities for me that make this so amusing. He's so clever. Oh, did it again. He is clever. But I like it a lot. I like the last bit. This is, I suppose, a shout out to all those people who think perhaps his work is a little bit OTT, but I just thought it was great. And ongoing, including you. Yeah, you. You're in this shit also, so suck it up. If you got to be in it, so do you, cry baby. Wah, wah. You can imagine he won't pander to anybody. If he's got to do it, you got to do it as well. I just think his mind is basically floating on a sea of silliness again, a symphony of silliness, and I think it's so, so good. So more of it, please. Don't stop writing, because I really enjoy it. Thank you, Lawrence.
Yeah, you know, I often wonder where he gets his characters, but apparently they're to do with his two cats. Somebody, Irene Joyce Ansett, said, "Wow, I really enjoyed reading this. I wonder if the animals used were used as symbolic meaning. very descriptive piece, and more at 67 says, sometimes they are, if that's what you think, but usually it's just my two cats acting stupid, the indoor cats that want to go outdoors and come running back in the first time they see the signs of trouble. In writing a book, I'm writing a book on these characters, would love for you to follow along. So there's two cats, Fat Cat and his Elfie homie, Elfie. So yeah, excellent, great insight, and thank you for sharing, Lord 67. All right, we will move to you next.
Now, you can tell me if we've had this one. Up, Down, and Sideways by Pretty Bird. No, we haven't, have we? Don't think. I don't recognize
no.
it. Good. Is that a long trek back up the page? See, I forget where I was. Right, so we have Up, Down, and Sideways by Pretty Bird. And I'll give this a read. I've got such a headache. I've no idea why. I don't get headaches. Probably hear my own voice too much. Right, up, down, and sideways. 7, 8+ months ago, clotting factor breakdown. Can't fuse the pieces back in place. Words transfusions broke the bank. Blocks of paper with dried out pens cannot breathe life into the dust of forgotten hope. Bleeding tears on black canvas, unseen in the witching hour, reach memories torn from truth. Night sweats and awkward silence, counting murderous crows coming to the funeral. Hanging on a thread and faith in the fact that there has to be more than this. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And in her author's note, she says, broke, writer's block, truth, murder, crow. So, yeah. Yeah, I enjoy Pretty Bird's rights, you know. Severed 8+ months ago, clotting factor breakdown. Can't fuse the pieces back in place. Word transfusions broke the bank. I mean, that speaks to me like something tremendous happened to her 8 months ago, and she's still picking up the pieces from that and trying to pick up the pen as well. Blocks of paper with dried out pens cannot breathe life into the dust of forgotten hope. Again, that speaks to me trying to get back into writing when, you know, there's just hardly any hope to do so, you know, because the pen's dried out and the paper's turned to dust. And I thought it was wonderful. Hard-hitting, impactful, thought-provoking as well. I enjoyed Night Sweats and Awkward Silence, Counting Murderous Crows, Coming to the Funeral, and then Hanging on the Thread, and faith in the fact that there has to be more than this. Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Pretty Bird, for sharing. And Eva, what did you think?
Yes, this is very sad. The pathos and the hurt comes through. When I see things like severed 8+ months ago, clotting factor breakdown, it makes me think perhaps this was a loss of, I hope not, and I hope it is fiction, but it kind of speaks to me of a loss of a child, which has to be the most awful thing. And the last stanza, hanging on a thread and faith in the fact that there has to be more than this. Yeah, that's the futile hope that we have, isn't it, that we hang on to keep us going, is there must be more than this. And yet there is no guarantee. There is no knowledge of what comes after. But, you know, it's nice to have a faith. I think everybody who has a faith are very lucky people. You've got something to believe in. So, yeah, I thought this is so, so sad, but beautifully written. And the pain is there for all to see. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Pretty Bird. Wonderful writing.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Weaver. Thank you so much. All right, Weaver, where are we to next?
And we are to... Let's get rid of Mr. Nigel. Maybe a moment. Here we have. Yeah. We have Imagining Mornings by Preston P. Could you give that one a read for us, please, Gray?
Sure. Imagining Morning by Preston P. As certain as the morning sun, slowly rising, dispelling from our gray streets those last remnants of night, foul tentacles, dark as midnight, spiraling around creosote-soaked poles, that door, our door, is painted, is our painted gate, defending the calm. Your eyes are open now. Small, dark pools where the light dances freely. And watching you, time is weightless and it drifts. So what can I see in you? The answer is simply vocalized in husky and whispered tones. Everything. Your slender fingers expertly slide between mine. Are they mine? They have the grace of your voice, effortlessly expressing oceans, steadfastly reassuring. The door with its paint chips and brush marks, with its squeaky hinges, remains a defiant centurion. Silently, I pull you close, gently guiding your ear to perch upon my chest. And though we have yet to speak, my being is crying your name with every beat and tone. Wow. What did you think, Reaver?
Yeah, yeah. This is another very intricate and interesting piece of poetry. As certain as the morning sun slowly rising, dispelling from our grey streets those last remnants of night. So imagining morning. And his eyes are open and he's looking. Oh, her eyes are open. Sorry. This is beautifully written, obviously, about someone he cares for very much. And he's looking at that person as they slowly wake to another day. And obviously very, very happy to be with them. That sounds the penultimate stanza is very well written. Silently I pull you close, gently guiding your ear to perch upon my chest. There is nothing more satisfying and steadying and classic than hearing someone's heartbeat when you're lying close to them. There's something about that that's so, it makes you feel so close to that person. That intimate sound of their heart beating so close to your ear. I think it's beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. Well done. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really captures morning in such a wonderful way. Those last remnants of night, foul tentacles, dark as midnight, spiraling around creosote poles. You know, you can picture the sun as it chases that darkness away, and there's like a whole scene that's painted there, and I thought it was wonderful. And then silently I pull you close, gently guiding your ear to perch upon my chest, and though we have yet to speak, my being is crying your name with every beat. Yeah, powerful poem, and thank you for sharing. Preston, great, right? And excellent chair. Congratulations on your front page pick. All right, we were working that.
Right. We should be here, but for some reason it's not coming up with the little send box, so I'm going to have to repost it. Let's try. There we are. Got it. So we have Those Were the Days by Kiku. Who read last? Was it you or was it me?
I think I did.
Thank you. I'll take your word for it, because I've now got to that point in life where I don't know whether I'm up or down. Ah, dear. It's a very simple thing. There's only two of us. You think I could remember it, but I don't. Okay, I'm tied up with all the poetry. That's what it is. It takes me in and I forget all about real life and whose turn it is to read. That's all I'm saying. That's my excuse. So,
yeah.
There we go then. Those were the days. The ones of white and blue porcelain, the peeling of lemon and pumpkin rind. In the late evening, I heard the sound of rain. Two chrysanthemums lean into each other. They whisper like court ladies at an art gallery. The ones of delicate Congbee paintings, the opulence of their green stem and leaves. Morning unveiled bleached summer grass. Its tint is mixed with too much white. I draw a deep blue flower in its place. End poem.
Wow, beautiful read. And I love the write. It's so artistic and so well crafted. Those were the days, the ones of white and blue porcelain. You know, and I remember the white and blue porcelain, quite honestly. I guess it's English pottery that is the origin of the white and blue pottery. I'm not sure. But I really enjoyed the two chrysanthemums leaning to each other. They whispered like court ladies at an art gallery. You can picture that. And then the ones of delicate Congbee paintings, the opulence of their green stem and leaves, murmuring unveils bleached summer grass. Its tint is mixed with too much white. I draw a deep blue flower in its place. Just beautiful, beautiful imagery. It's so palpable, for sure. It's a beautiful write, you know. It's got such a personification to it that's just gorgeous and really captures the attention of the reader with power. So I thought it was beautiful. Great, right? And thank you for sharing. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, I liked that first line as well. I thought it was lovely. Yeah, the blue and white porcelain started in China. They were the only ones who actually could make the lighter translucent porcelain. We couldn't do it in this country. So what we did was we just got clay and we painted it with a facsimile or a likeness of blue and white china. And it was very, very popular. And I like it. I like it a lot. I've got lots of little miniature cups and saucers. And I've got one that's a sort of flow blue, which is very soft. Yeah, beautiful stuff. And this was a lovely piece of poetry. Again, you see, you don't need millions of words. This is everything you want. There were a couple of words there that I wasn't sure of, so I do apologize if I stuttered or said them wrongly. In the late evening, I hear the sound of rain, and those two chrysanthemums, you can see them, can't you? They're leaning into each other, the way they grew. They had a curve, and they whisper like court ladies at an art gallery. That's just, I had a lovely mind that can put that down and let us enjoy it. So good. And then you have the opulence of their green stems and leaves. And then, yeah, of course, then you have the grass. The grass has probably been dried out by the sun, so hence the paler look of it. Yes, very clever. And in only 75 words, that's very cool. Thank you for sharing that with us, Kiku.
Yeah, I agree. Excellent comment. Thank you, Weaver. All right, where are we to next?
Okay. Next, we'll have this one here. And we don't know, is this one going to send properly? I'm having problems with my laptop today, so ignore me. Here we have Birdsong by David Philip Ireland. Would you give this a read for us, please, Gray?
Sure. Birdsong by David Philip Ireland. Christmas Eve early, and all the birds were singing amid the police station pines. This feather-throated morning chorus twittered in the dawn as the sky was brightening over Dove Row Hill and the Severn gleaming with the soft December ripples. I stood behind a pair of police persons, one taller than I, the other with a full blonde braid, both with pistol-esque in hip holsters, not firearms, not hip. This is the UK. This is 2023, and this is Greg's at the 8 in the morning. Tasers? I guess so. What are they preparing for amidst the vegan sausage rolls and disappointing coffees? Scarily thrilling, the high straps thigh, the thigh straps, the holstering, the shaved head, and the big boots, and the nervous, constant shifting from right to left. A testosterone-fueled energy of trigger-happy hormones. She ordered bacon rolls with red sauce and unwise energy drinks of dubious color. And I claimed my gratis coffee, made magically less disappointing by the price, and walked into the mizzle and the sudden lack of birdsong as my eve commenced with the morning and poem. What did you think, Lee?
I enjoyed the little touches of humor amongst all of this. I can't understand why you would have police Christmas Eve early. Okay, police station. I don't understand either why you would have policemen with their tasers outside of a Greggs. I mean, what's happened? Somebody's going to steal a whole load of buns or something? Wow. I thought it was, not firearms, not hip. This is the UK. They had tasers. They must be so hard to deal with, to have to be tasered. Ugh. But tasers, I guess so. But what are they preparing for amidst the vegan sausage rolls and disappointing coffees? Very clever. They're obviously just there to get their coffee, but, this is a look behind the scenes of somebody's thoughts. If there's police around, to be trouble. I liked it a lot. It just the whole big, amazing look at something unusual. And I like that. I like that, something I haven't seen before. So that's very cool. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. I thought, like you said, it's a look behind the scenes of a mind that's experiencing this. You know, he really takes you into his world and puts the energy and the mode of his thoughts into perspective. And, police can be quite intimidating, whether they're carrying tasers or guns. You really don't want to piss them off either way. Just grab your coffee and get going. because, who knows what can happen in the turn of a blink of an eye, anything can happen. So you don't want to be there when it does. And, as much as I don't like them, I respect what they do. I mean, you have to be a different type of person to be a cop. There's no doubt. And, as much as I hate to say this, we do need them. And they are an evil necessity. when things are good, they're good. But when they're bad, they're bad. So I thought he captured the scene quite wonderfully. And it was a great share. So thank you for sharing, David. And where are we to next, David?
Yes, I agree with you about the police. I've never had anything but great service from the police that I've ever had to be in touch with. And we don't have guns here, at least not guns that people just walk around willy-nilly with. They're quite difficult to get hold of. And they are intimidating, but they are, as you say, necessary. And it's a case with everything. Power corrupts, and great power corrupts absolutely. So it's a fact of life. If you give somebody power, you have to hope they know how to use it. Okay, so next up, that was enough of my ranting. Next up, we have Le Cordon Babe by Nikki Marie, and I'll give this one a read. The crone said, skin the cat and trim the fat and have the kiddies for supper. I do say the younger are tender. If the meat is older, it's tougher. Sing your song, sounding so soft and sweet, that brings kiddies sweetened meat. End poem. Whoa.
Wow. This speaks to me of an old crone who, a wicked crone who, eats children for dinner and have the kiddies for supper, I can say. Wow. Yeah, the younger are tender. Yeah. Silence of the Lambs is what comes to mind with this rite. So, really any scary. But, it was well written. I liked it a lot. It has it's definitely well written. It really strikes the mind and heart quite chillingly. And I thought it was fantastic. Thank you for sharing, Nikki. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I think it was very well written indeed. It's so, I don't know what it is about it, but it's creepy, but it's so well written that you can't help just keep on reading it. The crone said, skin the cat and trim the fat. I love those double rhymes. And have the kiddies for supper. I do say the younger are tender. Oh my goodness me. Wow. What on earth was this written for? But it's so well done. Port reminder, the fatted calf offered up is a witty webity. Yeah. As I say, beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. I thought the rhyming was great, and the idea is so creepy that it's just brings a chill to the spine, but a very good thing when you mean to do it. Yeah, I liked it very much. I'm going to have another look at Nikki Marie and see what other things she's written, because that is right along my boulevard every day.
Yeah. Wow. Great comment, Weaver. Thank you for sharing. All right. What do you have next, Weaver?
Your guess, mon chéri, is as good as mine, but I think we have this one. Losing sight and gaining vision. I was looking at one, anyway, never mind. I'll read this one. This is Cheryl's one. Cheryl Wilcox, losing sight and gaining vision. The thought of losing your sight is frightening. When the moment came for me, I thought of losing my independence, the inability to pick up a book, turn the pages, and inhale the words that have always been a sacred part of my world. I began to see things differently. I thought about how people would never age, not my parents, my children, or my friends. I thought about the ways the images fade in old Polaroids, and that became the vision of my life. Losing your sight sounds pretty awful, doesn't it? I won't lie. It's not a picnic in the park or a relaxing day on the beach, surrounded by cabana boys. But it's not that bad either, at least on most days. I couldn't imagine a life without words, but eventually realized that words will remain a permanent part of my life. And someday it will no longer matter if they are in Braille, written or spoken. As it sank in, I began to race the clock. Everything in life became magnified and accelerated. One day you wake up and the world is in segments before and after. My windows became much more clear because I never had the illusion that there would be a next time, because I always knew that maybe there wouldn't be. Life became all about the moment and I became impatient. I wanted to experience it all now. Tomorrow's hourglass was too far away. For the most part, it was easy to adapt. I found ways to get by utilizing memory and landmarks. There does come a point when you lose enough vision that the adaptations you have made are not enough to cut it, and you have to make the decision to change your life. Change is hard, especially when it touches so many everyday little things. Undergoing any major life change, whether it's a career change, divorce, death, a heart attack, a stroke, or vision loss, has a tendency of bringing out unwelcome changes in your personality. I was lost for a while. I became a different person and not exactly someone I liked. I found myself in a foreign land with familiar faces. There are many resources to help you learn how to adjust to this new life, but nothing prepares you for what others think and how and feel or how they will react. Logistics can be learned. Identity and self-perceptions can be adjusted, but guilt is far more insidious, chipping away at relationships with your family and friends. Losing your sight is embraceable. Despite the downsides, there is an amazing upside too. My world is far more beautiful than most. I have my feet planted in two different worlds, littered with a thousand shades of grey, and the most beautiful colours too. Most people only get to see them. I get to hold them, feel them, and taste them. They are more precious than jewels. You only get one life to live, so you might as well enjoy the view. End poem.
Beautiful read. And would you mind reading author's notes, please?
Yeah, of course, no problem. Your vision will become clear only when you can look into your own heart. Who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakes. Carl Jung. So that was a yeah. piece of poetry written about
insight. Yeah. Cheryl did go blind, as far as I know. And so, I mean, this is so poignant and so powerful in its impact. You know, my heart goes out to her and her loss of her sight. It was just a horrible thing to hear about. And, you know, the reality is so much more than just losing your sight. You know, it changes your whole world and everything around it. You know, it's such a sad, sad thing, but, to lose your ability to drive or to, just to see where you're walking, you know, it's just such a tragic thing. But, my heart goes out to you, Cheryl, and I miss you. She was a wonderful part of LNP at one point in time. And, so, yeah, I miss her a lot, and I wish her all the best. I hope she has found an internal sight that appeases the loss of her external sight. Much love, Cheryl. And what are your thoughts, Weaver?
I find this very, very heartbreaking. And obviously, Cheryl was a very brave and very forthright lady, so you have to say kudos for that, because the acceptance of that kind of limitation, you know, it's I honestly can't even imagine what you'd have to go through to gain acceptance of something like that. So as I say, very, very brave woman, and beautifully written piece of poetry. It just breaks your heart. It's fundamentally, it shouldn't happen. Very sorry, I really am. It's scary. It must have been scary to begin with, because your feeling of vulnerability, apart from anything else, is a horrible thing. And I imagine you would spend your days kind of slightly bent over, you know, waiting for the first blow when you walk into the wrong space and hit a wall, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, my goodness me. Yes. I have to say I'm glad you shared that with us, because I think it's something that has to be said when you're having to live with it, but so well done and so beautifully written. So I have to thank you for sharing that with us very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful comment, Lisa. All right, where are we to next, Lisa?
I don't actually think we have any more. I'm just having a look. I haven't missed any that I know of. But I think that's the last of them, because we've done all the open poetry, and I'll give it a quick refresh in case something's come up. So you want to find something to put in and we'll read it?
Well, I think we have Love Spell by Baby Cakes.
Oh, do we? Oh, cool. Because I was going up and down, you know, getting a male one for you and a female one for me kind of thing, so I must have missed out. Sorry, Baby Cakes. Thank you for noticing that, Ray. Well,
yeah.
Here we are. I'll just get this in. And there we are. Would you like to give that one a read?
Sure. Love Spell by Baby Cakes 24. Surrounded by hundreds of spastic, hyperactive teenagers, a sea of endless colors huddled in intermingled clusters. Through the dense crowd, my eyes wander till I lock eyes with a torridity, stare of his sultry amber glaze. His virility radiated off him. I was struck there, lost in his steamy trance. I found out later I actually had a chance. Our romance was that of the books. I admit, I fell hard under his hypnotic trance. Heck, I even planned on him getting in my pants. Pretend I didn't say that. End poem. What are your thoughts, Lisa?
Oh, excellent, excellent piece of poetry. Baby's Cakes. I like her handle as well, her sobriquet. Surrounded by hundreds of spastic, hyperactive teenagers. Oh, my goodness. I locked eyes with torridity. Oh, that's a lovely word. Torridity. Stare of his sultry amber glaze, his virility radiated off him. I like this one. Steamy, but interesting. Oh, I like that last line.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretend I didn't say that. Wonderful. Beautifully written, lots of humor, but also, you know, a love spell. Well done, I liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. It was a pleasure to read. But, you know, that first glance can have so much power and impact. From across the room, their eyes met, and it was love at first sight. You know, how many times have you read that or heard that? You just can never tell where and when love's going to hit you right in the smack dab in the face and knock you out. So, I thought it was powerful and definitely profound for sure. I hope it's a true story. And yeah, just wonderful, right? Thank you for sharing, Baby Cakes. All right, so I guess we got to find something to read.
Yeah, I've got one down. So you want to find one, and I'll read my one. I think I've got it down anyway. Oh yes, here it is.
Okay.
So we have. Oh, sorry. Give me a moment. I did that. You would think I know what I was doing, but I really don't. It's quite scary. Ah, dear. Here we have it. Okay, this is On the Horns of a Dilemma. Just give me a moment, please. My mouth is so dry. 1 second. Okay. On the Horns of a Dilemma. I have honed my skills as both a medium and a mystic. Not an easy task. Throughout the years, many people have asked me why. The answer is my overweening curiosity is piqued because I've yet to find out what our final destination is when we die. Some who have gone before have vehemently promised us that seconds after entering the pearly gates, a missive will wend its way through the ether to then connect with someone like myself, who will assure us by saying all is manna, clouds and harps, therefore we can chill. But so far we've heard nothing. Though I would have bet my cold black soul that if anyone could do it, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle would be the one. The afterlife may be darker than even I can comprehend. It may well be a colossal cosmic joke, which makes me think there might be just a downward trajectory and only one red-eyed horned prankster having fun. End poem.
A great read. And I really enjoyed it. You know, I have honed my skills as both medium and psychic. Not an easy task. Throughout the years, many people ask me why. The answer is my overweening curiosity has peaked, because I've yet to find out what our final destination is when we die. Some who have gone before have vehemently promised us that seconds after entering the pearly gates, a missive will wend its way through the ether to connect with someone like myself, who will assure us by saying it's all is manna, clouds and hearts, therefore we can chill. But so far I've heard nothing, though I would have bet my cold black soul that if anyone could do it, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle would be the one. And what is after? You know, what is in that great hereafter? you know, nobody can tell us. Nobody really knows. It's just an abyss as far as I know, just eating everything that comes into it and making it just turn into blackness all around. And so, yeah, beautiful, right? You know, definitely thought-provoking and ethereal in its thought-provokingness. So what did you think? What did you think of the Light Weaver that you wrote?
I enjoyed it because that's the kind of thing I'm really interested in anyway. And Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote, you know who he wrote, the famous detective whose name obviously has gone. Anyway, he firmly believed in the afterlife. He was the one who was conned when two young girls cut out pictures of fairies and took photographs of them in their garden, and he believed they were real. He was absolutely duped. So if anybody is going to tell us what's there, he would have been the one. He was so determined he would, and nobody's heard anything. So we do kind of have to think that, although we believe that, you know, energy never actually dies, it just transforms or whatever. Is there anything? I don't know. I will come back and tell you if there is. I can only say that. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Okay, exactly. All right, so I'm going to post the next poem here.
Cool, thank you.
And Bobby says, the Cottingwood fairies, ?
Yeah.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
All right, so I have the perpetuity of our lives. She spread across my desert like an oasis, bringing moisture to lips that longed her kiss. Her sky was lightning-filled, and thunder roared inside my chest as her storm blew in. Her eyes were brighter than the sun as we kissed, lighting the depths of my desire like fireworks. She smiled, and I melted from the core, outwards. Her scent carried my soul aloft on spring breezes, like the moon to the midnight skyscape. She pierces my entity with shards of her being, encapsulating my heart. My hands cup her face, and the sun shines in the perpetuity of our lives. And poem.
Oh, brilliantly done. Wow. Oh, I thought it was wonderful. I love the imagery. You did it so well. I mean, those first two lines, she spread across my desert like an oasis, bringing moisture to lips that longed for her kiss. That just, it's very, very sweet. I like it. And it goes on and on about all the different, you know, the different beautiful parts of this person that you adore. And you, the tenderness and the sweetness here. And the love so obviously felt. And that last two lines are just, they're heartbreaking. Encapsulating my heart, my hands cup her face, and the sun shines in this perpetuity of our lives. That's lovely. That's giving love such a hit. It really is. I liked it a lot. And it kind of made me a little bit sad as well, but it was just definitely about love and about how much you care. And, you know, I would love something like that to be written for me. But it's such a lovely compliment. So, very well done. You've melted this cold, dark heart.
Yeah. Thank you, Weaver. Much appreciated. And, yeah, that was written to Louie.
Ah, lovely. I thought it might have been gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Yeah. Mm.
And would you like to say anything else about it? Or?
No, I just like talking about nature, you know, using nature as my metaphor. I find nature so rich in its beauty and its incredible versatility. You know, it's everything from sunshine to storms, you know, from a beautiful spring day to a tornado, you know, it can be everything and anything. You know, nature is just so all powerful. It just truly is magical to me. So yeah, I enjoy writing in nature type thing, themes.
I agree.
But thank you for listening.
No, I thought it was wonderful. I really did. I enjoyed it. There is, when you think about the earth and what is done to it, and the fact that it springs back eternally, I think that is amazing. It really is. You've got like any ruin you find within a year, even 6 months in a hot country, that is covered in foliage and vegetation, and you know it never stops. It carries on, and thankfully, because we're doing horrible things to it. So that was a wonderful rite. It was really sweet. So thank you for sharing that with us. We've got 5 minutes. Oh, my God. Well, I could tell you what the weather's like. Is that any good? Nah. No. Not interested in that. I can't find it. Yeah. What is your weather like at the moment, by the way?
It was overcast today, a little chilly. Definitely spring-like.
Mm-hmm. That's lovely, though, spring-like. We've had nothing but dark grey skies and cold, uncomfortable rain. And now we have these amazing winds that are coming through, probably the tail end of some storm or other. But, you know, I'm inside, so I don't care. I'm not going to bother too much about it. I'm warm and cosy. So I just feel sorry for anybody who's got to go out and work in this. It must be awful. Right. I'm actually trying to see if I could find something else to stick in that was short, but I don't think I've got anything. Maybe. So we're just going to... Oh, I must find... There must be something I can put up before we lose our precious 5 minutes. I mean, it's been a while since we've been able to put anything up. No, everything's too long. Oh, yeah, I've got one. I have got one. This is a silly one. Okay, if I can... By the time I've actually got it up, it will be bang on the hour, won't it? Typical. So I'll just read it.
Okay. Well, we've got 3 minutes.
Oh, well, that's cool. If I can get it up, we'll have a little... I can't do anything in a hurry, you know that? It's impossible for me. My fingers stop working. And
yeah.
Right. Yes, we're accomplishing a lot this evening. I got it. Cool. Mhm. Right. And now the seconds are ticking away. Here we are. It's called Hubble Bubble. I can't even talk. Would you like to read this one for me, please, Greg? Because I actually can't. My voice is going completely.
Sure.
Thank you, my darling.
Okay, so we have Hubble Bubble by Weaver of Dreams. Be there a wise woman named Mistress McPhee who knows the old ways. Visit her at the dead of night to buy a potion or whatever ails thee, across her and be damned forever. End poem. Ooh, that's spooky. You've been warned. So you've been warned. Don't cross the mystic. You might
exactly. I love creepy things.
Excellent.
You know.
Excellent. Right.
Thank you. Just a bit of fun as usual, but it's good that I love creepy, but I don't seem to be able to. I've got a story that I'm trying to write, and I cannot get it to be as evil as I want it to be, and I don't know why, because there's a lot of evil in here. But so I keep trying.
Yeah.
Fun. Definitely.
All right, Weaver. Well, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your heart, your mind, your voice, and your soul. Much love, and I wish you all the best.
You too, my darling. It's been a lovely evening. I've really enjoyed it. We've got through them no problem at all, and it was fun. So I'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah.
Good night.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Good night, John Boy. Bye.